Welcome to the Hour of Decision Online. I'm Cliff Barrows, along with my co-host, Bob Sauer, and it's good to join you for our program today.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Cliff. On this edition of Hour of Decision Online, Billy Graham explains that Jesus wants to be in a relationship with you, and he doesn't want you to hold anything back.
When you come to Christ, you must come with your body, your mind, and your heart.
When you give him everything you have, he'll give you back even more.
He justifies you just as though you had never committed a single sin. And he gives you a new heart, a new desire, a new joy, a new peace, and a certainty that if you died, you'd go to heaven.
Stay tuned for Billy Graham's message, The High Cost of Following Christ. Sometimes we fail to be faithful followers of Christ. A little later in the program, Will Graham looks at those times and the importance of asking God's forgiveness and accepting his discipline.
It is during times like this where our relationship with the Lord starts to grow, because in faith, we know we must obey God's word.
Don't miss the rest of Will's teaching right after Billy Graham's message, which comes from his 1983 crusade in Orlando, Florida. Cliff, what can you tell us about this outreach?
Well, I can tell you it was an exciting time. It was in April, and believe it or not, that was a cold day and a cold week in Orlando. And Orlando is known as the beautiful city, but people came forward in the water, walking with the water over their shoes, blowing in their faces. So strong was the Spirit of God in that service. And in fact, when the service was over, when the invitation started, Billy thought they'd be headed for the cars to get out of the rain. But instead, they lined the walkways coming down on the field to commit their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Another interesting thing about it was that the mayors of 19 principalities around Orlando met together and declared it Billy Graham Appreciation Week. They had not done that for anyone else, but they were so grateful for what God was doing, and they were so excited. Billy had spoken to a prayer breakfast of 4,500 civic and religious leaders, government leaders, and the conversation usually was about secular things, but everybody was talking about what God was doing at the crusade. It was just amazing. And so many people referred to it afterwards as a time when God spoke to the hearts of business people, people who had lost everything, people who were not sure about tomorrow, people with broken relationships. And when the invitation was given, my, how they responded. Hmm. We had some 6,000 people responding with attendance of 204,000 people during that crusade. It was an amazing time in Orlando, which is known as the City Beautiful.
And the music we're going to hear is from Larnell Harris?
Yes, the music is unique because it was one of Larnell Harris's original songs, and he spoke about the best song that he has to sing is the song about Jesus. Larnell was a very wonderful artist. He could have made much money singing in the secular world. And he talks in the song about people sing about different themes. But he mentioned the fact that Jesus was the theme of his song. And people loved it. And people identified it with it. And people made it the theme of their song, even while Larnell sang. Boy, you'll love to hear him sing. And he gave a wonderful testimony as he witnessed to his faith in Christ through songs.
And songs are written every day by writers who have things to say. And you know something? They say them very well. There are songs that speak of earthly love, of trees, of flowers, of skies above, of wars, both won and lost. But the songs that I love to sing are the songs that speak of my Jesus. Far he has given me, whole new life to live. You see, he spent his blood, he died, and then he rose for our sins. And that's why I sing and I shout and I serve him every day. Songs exalting man's great feats and sonnets telling of retreat. We've heard them down through the years, of flights in space, of man's disgrace, of liberty for every race. We've heard our nation's call, and still the songs that I love to sing are those songs that speak of my Jesus. For he has given me a whole new life to live. You see, he spent his blood and then he died, and he rose for sins. And that's why I sing and I shout and I serve him every day. Yes, that's why I sing and I shout and I serve.
Larnell Harris at the 1983 Central Florida Billy Graham Crusade in Orlando. And now, from that same outreach, let's begin listening to Billy Graham's message, The High Cost of Following Christ.
Tonight I want to talk on counting the cost, what it cost to follow Jesus Christ. There's a price to be paid. And beginning at verse 27 in the 14th of Luke, we find the text, the 14th chapter of Luke, beginning at 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient money to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. What does it mean to come to Christ? Christ said, count the cost. When you come to Christ, you must count the cost of your body, your mind, and your heart, because he demands that he be Lord of all three: Lord of your body, Lord of your mind, and Lord of your heart. First, the body. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, I keep my body under discipline. I keep my body under. Do you keep your body under discipline? The Bible is full of stories of people who were not able to control the passions and the appetites of the body. Remember Eve, our first mother? She was told not to eat of the fruit of a certain tree. And she looked at the tree, and she saw the forbidden fruit, which was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eye. It was a tree to be desired. That's the pride of life. And because of her sin and Adam's sin in yielding to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they were driven from the garden, and you and I and the whole world tonight are suffering because of it. Because all the suffering and troubles in the world tonight come from the fact that our first parents broke God's law and sinned against God and passed that disease from generation to generation down to our generation. And how many of us have made a shipwreck of our life in one moment? Just a moment of time, just a compromise here or there with our body. And we've lived to regret it 1,000 times over. Or Samson, the strongest man in history, defeated an entire army with the jawbone of an ass. He defeated a lion in battle. But another lion, the lion of his own body, he could not control. Beautiful Delilah lured him into her arms and destroyed him. He was destroyed by lust and the wrong use of sex. And what a problem that is to young people today. A sex-saturated culture. The devil, through television and films and books, say, do it. The Bible warns, don't do it. Abstain. You say, well, how can you abstain in our culture? Well, I want to tell you, you can't without Christ. There are not very many people that have the willpower to say no. But if you have Christ in your heart, you'll have the power to say no. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. There's always a way to escape. God provides it every time to the believer. So there's no excuse for any believer committing that sin. Then there's another sin we don't think much about, but it's a sin. That's gluttony. One out of every three adults in this country is believed to be overweight. Now, some can't help it. It's a glandular problem, perhaps. Or they inherit it from their parents. It's in the genes somehow. But there are others that just eat because they want to, they just like the taste of it. That's gluttony. Daniel in Babylon purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame. And he warned against it. Now we have the body. Are you ready to present your body a living sacrifice to God tonight? That's what he demands if you're to follow him. If you're to come to the cross and have your sins forgiven and follow Christ, you must present your body a living sacrifice to God and say, Lord, here's my appetites, here's my lust, here's my body, my eyes, my hands, my feet, my private members, all yours. Then the second thing is your mind, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10. Now, no American has an IQ above 180. Only a dozen have about 180. Only 3,000 have 170. 5,000, 160. 15,000, 150. And 1,000,000, 140, and so on down. But God is going to hold you accountable for the mind he has given you, whatever your IQ. Somebody said, a penny for your thoughts. But your thoughts are worth far more than a penny in God's sight. The true wealth of your life is in your thoughts. How rich are you? The literature, the television, the radio are competing for your thoughts constantly. There was a classified ad in a newspaper which read, for sale, Encyclopedia Britannica, never used. My wife knows it all. Now, the Bible says to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We ought to be studying and reading the Bible all the time in all of our spare moments. And I'm convicted sometimes when I turn the TV on and watching some program that I can't even remember, and there's the Bible lying closed beside my bed or beside my chair. Because I know it's wrong and I have to confess it. I'm to study constantly all my life the Word of God. You see, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Give your mind to Christ. The scripture says, he that ruleth his spirit is greater than he that taketh the city. Your mind is a heaven or a hell all the time. Which is it? When you come to Christ, you must bring your mind to him. There's a lot in the scripture to say about the mind. He's to be Lord of the mind. And Paul wrote to the Philippians and said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what you're to be thinking about. Pure, lovely, righteous, God. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep our minds on Christ.
You can learn more about surrendering your mind and your whole being to Christ right here at hourofdecisiononline.org. Just click on Grow Your Faith at the top of the page. You can also call us. The number is 888-7-GRAHAM. That's 888-747-2426. We'll return to Billy Graham's message, The High Cost of Following Christ, in just a moment here on Hour of Decision Online. First, we want to tell you about a very special trip that Franklin Graham and his daughter Sissy recently took to the Holy Land. Here's our Mike McLean with their story.
A journey to the Holy Land is bound to be enlightening and inspiring, but for Sissy Graham Lynch, it was especially so because of her father, Franklin.
I love traveling with my dad. Because you have to understand, he's like a walking encyclopedia. He's visited Israel over 35 times since he was 8 years old. And even as a young man, he worked with tour groups here in this region.
In Israel, there are not a lot of places you can say this is the exact spot, but this is the exact spot where Gideon chose his men.
We'll tell you how you can watch a video journal of Franklin and Sissy's trip in just a moment. As you watch the video, you'll see that this was a journey of deep father-daughter love and of love for Jesus Christ and all he did.
I always knew a trip like this would be special. But actually being here, walking the stone streets and seeing the historic hillsides of Jerusalem, it exceeds every expectation. The Bible stories I've heard and the verses I've memorized, they all come to life here in the Holy Land.
This is Jerusalem. What do you think, Sissy?
Just incredible how much history is here, but how much history is to come.
There's just so much to see here. When you think of Jerusalem, is one corner over here toward the Herod's Gate. Over here is the Dung Gate. This is the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate. You have the Temple Mount, and the whole city is that right there.
A tremendous amount of history for sure, but as Franklin makes clear to Sissy and to us, it applies directly to today.
When they're doing well, they don't want God, and then they call on him when they get in trouble. And so what the children of Israel did, we just look at ourselves, that's what we do today. Many people don't ever call on the name of God unless they're in trouble.
I'm so grateful to be here with my dad. He knows so much about the history of this chosen land.
As you see in the video, some places are amazingly significant.
We're pretty sure because of the ruins here in the synagogue and what they have found that this is Capernaum, that this was Jesus's headquarters, and this is where he lived during much of his ministry.
Sissy's reaction pretty well sums up the whole trip from her standpoint.
As I reflect on where we are and what we're seeing, I'm moved by the bigger picture. Yes, it's exciting to physically walk where Jesus walked, but it's even more thrilling to follow his example and answer his call on our lives.
You can watch the 7-part video series about Franklin and Sissy's trip online at billygraham.org/holyland. If you'd like a DVD of the trip plus bonus features, we'll send you one for a gift of any amount to the ongoing work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Just click on Give at the top of this page or call us at 888-7-GRAHAM. 888-747-2426. For Hour of Decision Online, I'm Mike McLean.
Thanks for listening to Hour of Decision Online. On this edition of the program, Billy Graham is teaching that Christ is calling you to surrender your whole life to Him, your body, your heart, and your mind.
Many minds here tonight are filled with pride and anger and envy, jealousy, lust. The remedy is to let Christ take control of the mind and bring every thought into His captivity. Paul taught, we have the mind of Christ and exhorted, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. Evil thoughts are the suicide of the soul. The Bible speaks of those who have hostile minds, minds that are blinded, reprobate minds, doubtful minds, carnally minded, or shaken in mind, or troubled in mind, or double-minded man. Some have blown their minds on drugs. The Bible promises that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You can have your mind tonight transformed. You can have it renewed and surrendered to Christ, and the peace of God will keep your mind. Habakkuk promises, then shall his mind change. The Lord has actually asked you to change your mind. See, He doesn't ask you to change your heart. He asks you to change your mind. That's repentance. Change your mind, He'll change your heart. Change your mind, and He will come in and regenerate you, and you will be a born-again person. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts 26 that when they would come to Him, they changed their minds. It will change when you have the humility of mind and the readiness of mind, the willingness of mind to give your whole life to Christ. Paul told the Corinthians that there must be of a willing mind. Are you willing that your mind be surrendered to Christ tonight? Let Him control your thinking processes. Control the things you read, the things you watch, the things you do. Then the third, the body, the mind, the heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 6 that you have a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I have a deceitful heart. I can't trust my heart. The Bible says man's heart is in bad shape. Jesus said, for within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness and blasphemy and pride and foolishness. All these evil things, He said, defile up man. You don't have to appoint a new committee to find out what's wrong with the world. It's the human heart and the human mind and the human body. It's man. Man is what is wrong. The human heart is a volcano, and the Bible teaches that it's far from God. You draw close to Christ with your lips, with your profession, with your mouth, but your heart is far from Him. How many of us are really hypocrites? If you want to just call it what it really is and what Jesus called it. Because Jesus' great fight was with the religious leaders of His day. He didn't fight with the sinners. He loved them. It was with religious people. And I wonder if He came to Central Florida tonight, what He would say, who He would talk to. Would He talk to church people and say, oh yes, you go to church and you have a lot of religiosity, but you don't have the real thing. Your body, your mind, your heart doesn't really belong to me 100%. He demands 100%. Because man is a sinner, he's lost. He's born that way, and we cannot account for our conduct any other way. We are born losers. You're born to lose till we come to Christ. The Bible teaches that you have a rebellious heart. In Jeremiah 5, it says, but this people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They're revolted and gone. When we read the Ten Commandments and read the Sermon on the Mount, we say, I don't want to keep that. I can't keep that. Of course you can't. Nobody in this audience can keep the Ten Commandments. In fact, you can't even keep one command. Nobody in this audience has kept even one command. You say, well, Billy, I've never committed adultery. haven't you? Jesus said, if you look on a woman or a person of the opposite sex and have lust in your heart, you've already committed it. I've never killed anybody, but if you ever hated or been jealous of someone, you've broken that commandment. But then the scripture says, suppose you have done pretty well with all of them. If you break just one commandment, tell one little lie, you've broken all the commandments. And to break the commandments is the definition of sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. And you have broken the law of God. And all of us have to say to God as we stand in front of the cross, I'm a sinner. I have to say it. You have to say it. Everybody here has to say it. I am a sinner. We've broken God's law. Now, God knows the heart. As we were leaving the stadium the other night, we were talking about heaven and how wonderful it would be to go to heaven. And then we talked about the judgment. And someone in the car said, you know, I'm looking forward to that. And someone else said, well, I'm looking forward to it too, but I'm also a little bit afraid of it. And I think we all admitted that we would be afraid to stand before God and face the judgment with Him searching our hearts and knowing our record unless we had been to the cross and been provided with a righteousness that was not our own, that Christ provides by His death on the cross and by His resurrection from the dead. Christ gave His life on the cross for you. He took your sins, your penalty, your judgment, your hell on the cross in your place. So that now you come and stand at the cross in all sincerity and give Him your body and your mind and your heart, and He forgives all the past. He justifies you just as though you had never committed a single sin. And He gives you a new heart, a new desire, a new joy, a new peace, and a certainty that if you died, you'd go to heaven. And He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you come to Christ, you must come with your body, your mind, and your heart. Would you do that tonight? You know you need it. And the Bible says, he that hardeneth his heart, being often reproved, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. There's no promise of tomorrow in the Bible.
And when they came forward, Billy led them in a prayer. I'd like to lead you in a prayer like that right now, too. Right where you are, you can invite Jesus into your heart. Will you do so? Oh God, I know I am a sinner. I know I need help. I know I need to be saved. And you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm calling. Come into my heart and save me now for Jesus' sake. And help me to follow you in the fellowship of the church and be able to share my faith and my love and my joy with others. In your precious and wonderful name, I humbly pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cliff. If you ask Him, God will help you trust your whole life, heart, mind, and body to Jesus. Learn more by clicking on Grow Your Faith at the top of the page. Or give us a call. Our number is 888-7-GRAHAM, 888-747-2426. You're listening to Hour of Decision Online.
The greatest need that you have right now as an individual is peace with God.
Join us for Peace with God as Billy Graham and Franklin Graham offer you a message of hope. Listen online or find a radio station near you that airs the program. Just go to the top of this page, click on TV and radio, and then on Peace with God.
We're going to see what the Bible has to say about the problems that we face in our world.
God loves you, and He's good.
Peace with God, what you need today. Click on TV and radio.
The title of Billy Graham's message on this edition of Hour of Decision Online was The High Cost of Following Jesus. But sometimes we fail to be faithful followers of Christ. Right now, Billy Graham's grandson, Will Graham, looks at those times and the importance of asking God's forgiveness and accepting His discipline.
Every one of us have decisions where we know what to do, but we just don't feel like doing it. 2 Samuel chapter 24 records a very similar situation for David. He had just disobeyed God by conducting a census of the people. God was mad because of David's disobedience, and he sent a plague upon the people. And when God had finished, he commanded David to erect an altar. After being chastised by God, I'm sure David didn't feel like worshiping the Lord. But by faith, David obeyed. He erected an altar for worshiping the Lord. It is during times like this where our relationship with the Lord starts to grow. Because in faith, we know we must obey God's word. So live by faith and not by sight. For Our Decision Online, I'm Will Graham.
Cliff, what have you learned about the importance of being obedient to God's word?
Well, I know I learned that there's a domino effect of obedience. Once you follow him in obedience, that leads to another step. And that leads to another step. And eventually, you know the joy of walking day by day with the Savior. But the reverse is also true. There's a domino effect of disobedience. If you fail to take that first step, then the next step was easy to walk away from God. And I learned through the years, and I'm just 90 in my 92nd year, and I've been on the way a long time, Bob, longer than you. But I've learned that there's joy in the domino effect of obedience to God. And it's my prayer that those who listen today and who trust Christ will say, "Oh God, come into my heart and help me to follow you faithfully wherever you lead."
Amen. Thank you, Cliff. Just before we wrap up this edition of Hour of Decision Online, we'd like to ask you to consider coming alongside the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. God uses your prayers and your financial support to help us share the message of Jesus Christ with people all over the world. You can click on Give at the top of the page, or you can give over the phone if you'd rather. Our number is 888-7-GRAHAM. That's 888-747-2426. I'm Bob Sauer, along with our program host, Cliff Barrows. Thank you for being with us for Hour of Decision Online. We'll be back with a new edition of the program on Sunday. In the meantime, Cliff, we're always just a click away here at hourofdecisiononline.org.
You're exactly right, Bob. You are a click away, and we want to hear what you have to say. Until next week, goodbye, and may God's richest blessings be yours. This program came to you through the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and it's always good news.